With the gradual relaxing of coronavirus lockdown laws, state by state, attention's moved to the economic effects and the recovery for the economy. Anthony Albanese has been calling for the Job Seeker Allowance and JobKeeper Allowance to be more slowly wound down in September. But the Prime Minister's adamant that the 6 months that has been planned is all we can afford. I asked Dr. Stuart Jackson, Senior Lecturer in Politics at the University of Sydney, whether the government could continue to hold this line as the pressure mounts.
They're certainly going to attempt to. To take it any further, of course, would require some form of, well, you would hope, legislative change. Certainly, if you were going to maintain it as a permanent change. The pressure's been building anyway around raising the rate of Newstart. At some point, the government's going to come under renewed pressure to retain it, particularly if the numbers of unemployed are expected to continue into next year. If you cut it out after 6 months, that's going to create a significant problem.
Yeah, well, I think the Reserve Bank and various commentators have indicated that we're looking at pretty much close to the just under 10% unemployment rate for next year. If they do cut off everything in September, it's going to make things very, very difficult at Christmas time, isn't it, for Christmas sales and that sort of thing?
It certainly will. I mean, Christmas sales will still be there, particularly if we haven't had a second wave of COVID-19. If we do have genuine recuperation in the economy, it will start to open up. Things will start to happen. That's just how it will work, given you have the rest of the economy actually still operating. The problem is that you're going to have a large number of people who have a significant lower amount of money. They're going to be on Newstart, which is not a great rate. These are people who traditionally or may well have been people who've had reasonable jobs, i.e. ones that are reasonably well paying. So you're going to get people who otherwise might have been perhaps positive towards the coalition starting to swing against the coalition. Now, whether this lasts till the next election, and that may be what the government is thinking, if we cut it out now, we've still got, you know, 18 months towards the next election, we should be able to survive.
And looking at some of the ways in which they're opening up the economy, a number of the measures like 10 people per restaurant and cafe, all of the owners of these businesses are saying that they don't have a business model for 10 people. They can't open for 10 people. It's going to be very difficult, and some of the businesses aren't going to come back, are they?
No. Well, we've already seen figures saying that 25% of cafes have closed. Another 20% probably won't open. So you're going to see, you know, a great swathe cut through the hospitality industry. That may well have been on the horizon. I mean, they've always been on the margins, you know, not very much in terms of profit margins in those, so they're always going to struggle. But this, of course, has just put the nail in the coffin. In terms of 10 people, it'll be up to them whether they have enough space to put 10 people. Because some of the smaller places, of course, if you're maintaining social distancing, can't actually create a space for 10 people. Then, of course, there's, you know, beer barns and the like, or large restaurants that say, well, 10 people, it's not worth opening for. So you have a sort of one-size-fits-all that doesn't quite work when it comes to most of the hospitality industry. That's a sad fact of the slow opening, and maybe it's really just an extension of a lockdown, a lockdown by any other means, if you like. So we're still controlling COVID-19.
We've also got problems on the overseas front with the exporting of barley, for instance, at stake. That's something that the Chinese government is threatening us with currently. And we've also had the previous problems relating to tourism and students, which the Chinese ambassador suggested might be a problem for us if we didn't wind back our pronouncements. Do you think this is going to continue to be a problem for the government?
Yes, it is. There's no doubt that this little spat may turn into a bigger spat, and certainly it fits in with the ongoing trade, well, I won't call it a full-scale war, but the trade spat that China's been having with the US. So this is going to be ongoing. Perhaps if the government wasn't following the American line about, oh, it's all their fault, or we need an investigation going quite so hard, i.e. indicating blame, this wouldn't come to this. That said, the Chinese will go for, if you like, the soft market options before they go to the hard market options of saying, all right, we're not going to take your iron ore. We're not going to take, well, we're going to take no more coking coal. When that starts to happen, that's when you know it's serious. At this point, when we're at Bali, when we're at international students, and of course no one's travelling at the moment anyway, that's not such a problem. But into the future, if it keeps going, yes, it could have quite serious ramifications. The fact that students aren't going to come back to our shores potentially for another 6 to 18 months already means the education sector is hurting enormously, university sector.
And a lot of people have been talking about manufacturing and the fact that, you know, it's very, our strategy's been laid bare during this coronavirus crisis. Anthony Albanese has been harking back to the post-wartime rebuilding era, talking about Ben Chifley and Light on the Hill with John Curtin. And what's he trying to say to us here?
He's trying to evoke a particular post-war, we come out of a war, post-war ideal of we're now going to rebuild the country. So we'll open the country up for all these forms of economic activity. There are a few problems along the way. You know, tariffs were very high in the 1940s, 50s and into the 60s. We do not have that tariff regime. So how we're going to, if you like, not spruik, but how are we going to make the manufacturing sector suddenly be competitive with a whole range of other countries, I'm less sure whether it's in there. But he's trying to evoke that image of we're rebuilding the country after a terrible time. We've had COVID-19, we've had bushfires, we've had droughts and floods, we've had the whole box and dice. But now we're going to go forward. I have to say it's a very male view of the world. It's also one that harks to, you know, men on the tools and in large manufacturing factories or businesses, doesn't really fit with the, you know, early 21st century view of how things are done. But nonetheless, that's what he's trying to hark to, a particular kind of Australianness.
And do you think the opposition will again take up the fight against the issues with Bridget McKenzie and Angus Taylor?
I would hope they would. But the federal government has been particularly tardy around the federal ICAC. It was actually, you know, ready to go. There were people who were working on it. There'd been a task force set up. So it was actually ready to go when the legislation was introduced. Now, that legislation disappeared during the bushfires and has not re-emerged. And no one's really been pushing for it. Yet, this whole COVID-19 episode has shown us that, if anything else, this is exactly what we need to follow through on the rorting of JobKeeper. Yes, the ATO is doing part of that, but we don't know where the problems may necessarily lie with JobKeeper, with employment operations. I see stories coming out about people being harassed while they're on JobSeeker from companies that are earning a great deal of money from them. So we're not actually seeing that anti-corruption focus as yet. Now, I think that could be a real winner for Albanese if he wished to push it, about saying it's one thing to take us through the fight. Now you have to get us out the other side, and that means not just austerity. It does mean building, but it also means building one that is efficient and proficient.
Dr. Stuart Jackson, Senior Lecturer in Politics at the University of Sydney, speaking with me there. I'm Roderick Chambers and you're listening to The Wire around Australia on the Community Radio Network.